You are very excited, Rob.
Yes, I'm very excited. I've also recently submitted my final for graduation of college, so I'm excited in many different ways.
Hey, congratulations, man. I did that last week. It's a good feeling.
Oh, man. It's a weight off my shoulders, and only made better by Atleti shithousing Juventus to death.
Well, we have a lot to talk about with regards to that game. What a show. What a performance. Did you think Atleti had it in them?
No, I didn't, actually. I mean, there's nothing sort of this season that indicated that they had this kind of gritty, old-school performance in them. But man, did they pull it out.
Yeah, they did. I think the only indication that I saw that kind of prefaced this performance would be the 2-0 win over Dortmund back in November. Because I think behind this game, that win over Dortmund was probably Atleti's second, maybe third best performance of the season. That also came in the Champions League. That's the one to me that kind of signaled that, hey, European football is different for them. But I didn't really see this coming. This was a steamrolling.
Well, I mean, it's easy to forget sort of going into a season, but so often European form can be totally separate to your sort of domestic league form.
Correct.
And I think especially with the motivation of the final being at the Wanda, I mean, I think this team is massively up for this competition.
And they certainly showed that Wednesday night. You know, the first guy I want to talk about is, it's not Jose Ma, it's not Godin. It's not even Antoine Griezmann. It's Alvaro Morata.
Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ superstar.
If you missed it, Morata was interviewed by AS. It ran on Wednesday just before kickoff. And he said about his move back to Atletico that regarding the mixed feelings about it, not everyone liking him. He said, not everyone liked Jesus either. Kind of... Comparing himself to Jesus, which, you know, Cholo's already done a number on his confidence, that's a good sign.
It is. I mean, you know, it works. He's not wrong. Jesus definitely got murdered, so... fair enough, Morata. Yeah, but I, you know, we love him. It's amazing. I really didn't think Atleti fans would take to him as quickly as they have, but... He hasn't even scored it yet. Some of his moments already are kind of iconic.
It's all about how hard he's working, and he had yet another moment taken away from him by the VAR. This one I thought was a shade ridiculous because it was a very slight push on Chiellini, and Chiellini just made the most of it. He went absolutely flying.
But Atleti Twitter would have been real bad. Had it held at 0-0 or even Juventus at 1, things would have been really, really bad.
I was almost expecting it following the annulled goal, the gol anulado, as the Spanish phrase is. I was kind of expecting Juve to just go down and Cristiano would score and finish 1-0 and we'd be having a very different podcast. But Atleti just... A theme of this game was that Atleti just kept on going despite everything else. And Morata kind of embodied that. He came on just before the hour. He managed to win 5 headers in just over half an hour. He played a critical role in that first goal by heading it down from the Lemar corner. Jimenez then gets into position, kind of knocks Bonucci over the head, but, you know, that's what happens. He kind of got into position to slide it home, and it's 1-0. That wouldn't have happened. Atleti would not have won this game without Morata.
You know, I actually thought Jose Ma's goal was more of a foul than Morata's.
It was.
Actually.
Absolutely, it was.
I mean, it just sort of tells you exactly what you need to know about VAR. It's inconsistent.
It's inconsistent, and it's being used on extremely marginal calls. Like, I'm all for using it. Simeone said after the game that he's all for it as well, but... I'm all for using it. It's just the matter of applying it correctly. It's being applied to take away these very marginal moments. You can understand it happening once or twice, but now we're getting up to 3, 4, 5 times where Atleti are being done in by the margins. It starts to get a little bit iffy.
And what really kind of annoys me about it is that it, I mean, it just seems like at times they're looking at these slow-mo replays, and every time you watch something in slow-mo, it looks worse than it did in real time. I like VAR because I think you should have it to be able to correct obvious errors, but I don't think it should play as much of a part in the game as it has so far this season.
Yeah, it shouldn't be used on these really tight marginal calls. It should be used on, you know, these egregious errors that mostly Spanish referees, let's be real, that mostly Spanish referees commit because they're, well, not the best referees in the world. That's what it should be used for, I think. And it does take away a bit of the magic. And poor Alvaro, man, he's had two penalties and two goals taken away from him since he joined at the end of January. It's just not breaking right for him, but it hasn't stopped him yet. He just keeps right on working and keeps right on going and using his force and his ability in the air to help the team. And they would not have won this game without Morata's work.
Absolutely. I mean, he's massively unlucky. I mean, that's kind of been the story of his career the last couple of years. And for that reason, I'm really hoping that he scores soon. A goal that counts, let me say, because he has scored. Just it hasn't counted. So let's hope he scores a goal that actually goes down on his record.
He should have had one on Wednesday, but instead the two Uruguayans got them, Jose Jimenez and Diego Godin. Jimenez's goal we kind of already touched on. The amount of corner came in, Jimenez kind of clatters Benucci, or collides with Benucci, as it were. He goes down, ball pings around, and Jimenez slides it home and just goes into a frenzy as he celebrates. Diego Simeone does the balls out celebration that everyone has seen at this point. A glorious moment.
Oh, yes. Con dos huevos.
Yes,
it's a classic. I mean, we've seen this before. If you've watched Atleti enough, you've seen that celebration before. but yeah, I mean, it's classic. Classic Atletico. I love the celebration from Jose Ma just absolutely kicking the shit out of the Gazprom advertising board. It's amazing.
All for damaging the advertising boards.
Absolutely, especially when it's Gazprom.
All for it. And 5 minutes later, Diego Godin doubling the lead. El Capitan with his 26th Atletico goal. This was from a free... It was a free kick, right? A Griezmann free kick.
Yep.
Ball bounced around. I think who won the initial header? I can't remember who won the initial header, but it bounced around again.
I think it was Godin, actually.
It was he won the header and then he finished it off. That's right.
Yeah.
And then Godin kind of is near the boundary. Scissor kicks this one, goes off Cristiano Ronaldo and in to the empty net to make it 2-0, and that's where it would end.
I'm not entirely sure whether Atletico fans would have preferred it to be a Godin goal or a Ronaldo own goal. That's a fine line right there, baby.
I would prefer Godin goal, but it's very tight.
I don't know, because I'm a hater, so I would love a Ronaldo own goal.
Yes, you're petty. You're pettier than I am.
That's what I want. It's what we want to see.
It's what the people want, Rob.
It is. It was brilliant. That was a great moment. Really, I mean, we've been talking about it for the last 3 years. Atletico have been terrible on set pieces, and then all of a sudden this game, they revert to 2013-14 form.
Yeah, and now they scored two from two set pieces. I mean, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. But, I think the team was massively up for this one. You can tell when the team really does care about a match, and this one was... I didn't love the lineup. I thought Juan Fran and Felipe, when I first saw it come out, I was quite worried about that matchup with Tuchel and Ronaldo. But they did their jobs. And, I mean, everyone absolutely put a mega shift in.
I think the intensity and the physicality Atleti played with, it went back to the old days, their old ways. This is a team that has been criticized a lot on this podcast, this very show, about kind of not having their identity, not being so streetwise anymore, not being up for big games as much anymore. They were up for this one. That's not up for debate. I think Simeone got his team exactly right, 100%. I was a bit nervous about seeing Juan Fran out there, but Juan Fran played great. Felipe also was very good. Not outstanding defensively, but I thought Felipe was very good. Juan Fran did all the defensive work, I felt. Cholo got this totally right. You use that midfield four to kind of boost your numbers, and you use it to kind of wear down opposition, and then you bring on your pace, then you bring on... Well, you bring on Morata to kind of stretch the defense, then you bring on Lemar, then you bring on Correa, kind of pace your wide options, true wingers, true wide players, and you use that to bend it till it breaks, and that's what happened.
I mean, I think we have to give Simeone massive credit because we've talked a lot of crap about his substitutions this season. And I mean, within 10 minutes, he brings on basically all of Atleti's attacking options off the bench.
Yeah.
Or Nico Kalinic. And it was the right move. I mean, it totally paid off. And I think we absolutely have to give him credit for that.
Yeah, he smelled the blood in the water. And I think where this game really changed was through Costa. Although it was a miss, it still changed through him when he missed that one-on-one in the 50th minute. That was a key moment in this game, but not for Juve, it was for Atletico. They just kept pushing forward in waves after that.
And I think he read that situation perfectly, that was sort of a tipping point of the match, and that if Atleti could take control from that point, they could go on and do what they did in the match, and it was great. It was an unbelievable result. In no way did I think that this would be the result from this match.
I think in other games you would have seen Cholo say, right, we're shutting up shop, we're throwing on Savage, we're moving Jimenez into midfield, we're trying to take a 0-0 to Italy. Which, honestly, I would have been okay with a 0-0. I was kind of expecting it for a while.
That's the Jose Mourinho strategy. 0-0 in the home leg.
0-0 home, and then you go score an away goal, and it ends 1-1, and you move on. But Cholo, this is why Cholo is much more than just like a low budget Mourinho, as I've seen it referred to as. He's much more than that. Cholo will do this. He smelled the blood in the water and he went for it. You got to give him credit for that, for smelling and sensing an opportunity to go for it, to grab this match by the throat. And I think Juve were really caught off guard by the intensity with which Atletico played. The home support was phenomenal. It was just a great night. And other than Costa and Tomas getting booked, they're going to miss the second legs. We'll talk about that in a second. Other than that, I think it was a pretty much perfect evening.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the best compliment I can give to the atmosphere is that it felt like one of the old Calderon Champions League atmospheres, which is, you know, for the Wanda quite good because we haven't seen sort of the same level of atmosphere. And it was absolutely excellent, especially in that second half. The team totally fed off that energy. And it was a fantastic performance.
It was just so loud there. It did remind me a lot of the Calderon, just maybe without the TIFO.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and... the new style of stadiums aren't exactly as sort of romantic as the old school stadiums are. I quite like the Wanda, but it's just the soul, and the soul was there for this one.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Some stats from this one, Rob, particularly as they relate to Juventus, and we talked before this game about all these threats, not just Cristiano Ronaldo, but guys like Paulo Dybala, our old friend Mario Mandzukic on the forward line. Miralem Pjanic is a really good midfielder. Alexandro, a terrific left back. Alexandro booked in this game. He will miss the second leg, which is huge. That's a big loss. That's a big loss. Although Juve still do have Joao Cancelo, who is pretty good in his own right, but he's a right back.
He's a right back, yeah, exactly. We've seen him a few times in Valencia, and not exactly the most defensively switched on.
So Alexandro is gone for the second. Like, Miralem Pjanic came off on 72 minutes. A lot of his passes were sideways or just lateral passes that really didn't keep anything ticking, really. When Juve had the ball, they looked, I wouldn't say quite rattled, but they looked under a lot of pressure as Atleti kind of inched closer and closer to Szczesny. So Pjanic was gone after 72 minutes. Paulo Dybala, two touches in the box, one shot, zero key passes in this game. That is huge to shut him down like that. He came off on 80 minutes. Manzu, two touches in the box as well. 1-6 headers, managed a couple key passes, but he was out of this game for the most part. Cristiano Ronaldo only had one shot on target. Played pretty well, other than...
And that was the set piece.
That was from that free kick in the 9th minute that Oblak had to save. That ball was going in. That was 100% going in.
Although, granted, the header that went off the side of his face on, like, 91 minutes was absolutely glorious.
You kind of felt that, okay, he's going to get this on target, isn't he? And then he just kind of skied it.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was. I totally thought it was going in, if I'm honest. Oh, when, yeah. When you see Ronaldo that free in the box, you kind of think it's going in, especially against Atleti.
But he just missed it. And again, only one shot on target for the Portuguese from 7 shots total and just 7 touches in the box. Jimenez and Godin did such a great job at both ends in this game. Godin more so in the second half. Jimenez, I thought, throughout the match was Atleti's best defender. He was a tornado, just helping out wherever he could. He got the goal that his performance deserved. Just massive to shut those three guys down.
Yeah, and I think we saw what we've always known Jimenez has had in his locker, is that he's an amazing defender. I mean, he can be a bit nuts at times, but we love that about him. And yeah, man, he's awesome. When he's healthy, man, he's excellent.
Yeah, knock on wood. He stays healthy.
Yes, that is the main thing with him.
You didn't even miss Lucas Hernandez in this game.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Atleti are relying on two basically washed fullbacks. I mean, seriously. These guys are old and have both had serious injuries or have at least missed a significant time in recent years and yet put in this kind of performance against one of the best teams in Europe. It's amazing.
Three of Atletico's four defenders were 33 or older in this game. And they all played reasonably well against the Juve team that has a lot of talent on it. That was a great performance, a great showing for really from everyone. We've talked about, well, actually, next guy I want to talk about is Koke, who came back for this game, and within about 15-20 minutes, you just knew Atleti's midfield was going to be the better midfield on the day, because he just holds everything together. It really cannot be understated how essential Koke is to Atletico Madrid.
And his presence is very easy to miss if you're only looking at the stats after the game. It's like, oh, he kind of had a middling performance. But when you watch him, you can tell that he's integral to this midfield. He makes everything happen.
He draws fouls. He runs everywhere, anywhere. He can hold the ball. He can pass. He can intercept. He can tackle. He does pretty much everything reasonably well, and that is huge in this midfield,
except for taking corners.
Yeah, he can't really do that anymore, but other than that,
that's totally abandoned him in four years.
I mean Tomas Partey took a corner in this game. That's how desperate things have been.
Yeah, but hey, we scored from two set pieces, so
Atleti still scored from two set pieces, which what was the last time that happened? 2015.
I mean, really, it's unbelievable, because Atleti have just been inept with set pieces, but in this game they looked like beasts. I mean, especially the Hosen goal was sort of classic Atleti set piece routine. The Godin one had a bit of fortune about it, but it was great. It was excellent to score in that way.
Can't say enough how great this performance was. Some more stats from the Atletico end. Antoine Griezmann, the team's leader in shots with 4. I thought Grizzy had a pretty good game, despite not directly contributing to a goal. 4 shots, a couple on target with a couple key passes as well. Pass accuracy was pretty low at 68%. And he did pick up that kind of needless yellow card in stoppage time. But other than that, I think Grizzy, despite not contributing directly to a goal, I think this was still a pretty solid performance from him. Rodri was weird in this game, because I think Juve's plan early was to put him under pressure. But I think
you could kind of tell that from some of Pjanic's pre-match comments.
Yeah.
Because they were clearly very focused on Rodri. They had figured out how important he was. But I think Atleti figured out a way to sort of work without him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, only 49 touches for Rodri, which the third highest total on the team in this game, but far fewer than we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing him around 60, 70 touches. But he, early on, he struggled a bit, but worked his way into the game generally pretty well. Not nearly as many recoveries as you'd usually see. Saul had an interesting game as well, kind of shunted out wide again, but came back into the middle to kind of help hold things together, keep the midfield compact. I thought Saul in particular was really underrated for this game.
I mean, he puts in a shift wherever you put him at. I mean, that's, you will get that, certainly. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, him and Koke are fascinating because they're some of the most talented midfielders that Spain has produced, and yet they haven't solidified their position and role in the midfield. The central field, that is. One of my loves of my life, Wojciech Szczęsny, did have a brilliant game. I mean, I think without him, this could have been an even uglier result for Juventus.
Oh, Szczęsny's save on Griezmann that kind of parried off the crossbar. That was a brilliant save. I was mad at first that Grizzy had blown it, but you see the replay and Szczęsny gets about two or three fingers onto it to knock it off the bar. It was brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he was really, really strong in this game. And because I thought Chiellini and Bonucci, honestly, were a little bit lightweight in this match. I mean, they have a huge reputation in Europe, but, I mean, they were flopping basically for everything.
Yeah.
That was their solution to Atleti, was flop and hope VAR bails us out. And it did once, it did, but not
for,
twice.
It did for Chiellini, but not for Bonucci.
Exactly. Yeah. Which was huge. I mean, truly, I thought the Bonucci one was way more of a foul than the Chiellini one. And, man, that VAR decision just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to end up talking about it again, but again, it shouldn't be used for calls like that. Like, you can't take away all these moments from Morata. He's played really well since coming over from Chelsea, and you look at purely results-based, it's like, oh, he hasn't done anything. But you watch the games, and you see what's been taken away from him. Partially justifiably so, but you look at he's had two pretty good goals. One of them is slightly offside. The other one, I mean, come on, you're going to penalize him for that. But it's in the past.
I mean, the reality is that defenders get a lot more of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that it is. And if a defender committed the same kind of foul that Morata apparently did, that would absolutely have not been overruled on VAR. It's really annoying for him, I'm sure, because, I mean, what, he could have three goals at this point. If they'd allowed him to take the penalties, he had been awarded.
Yeah.
So, I feel for him, and he'll get one. But his performances have sort of indicated that he's going to score at some point.
Yeah, he already looks pretty comfortable. Just have to work on the chemistry with Grizzy, and then he should be good. He could start banging him in pretty soon. What's your take on the best partner for Grizzy right now? As Costa came in, played nearly an hour, could have drawn a penalty of his own that was taken away by VAR.
Yep.
But I thought
quite similar to the Vinicius penalty.
Very similar.
Let us revisit that, because these are quite inconsistent VAR decisions.
Yeah, this one was very close, honestly. I think after viewing the replay about 6, 7, 8 times, I think the contact was like just outside the box. But again, it's so marginal.
But I think that the same reason that the Vinicius call I think it was a penalty. And for the same reason I think that the Colston one was a penalty, is that the foul carried into the box. And I think that that was kind of a poor decision, really, that it was awarded as a penalty. But, I think Morata's actually a better partner. I think he, being able to win basically all of the headers, really benefits Griezmann. It sort of allows him a lot more space and catches the defenders off guard when you have a guy that's so unbelievably good in the air like Morata is.
I mean, between them, Costa and Morata won 9 headers in this game, which is pretty dang impressive. Morata with 5, Costa with 4. Costa battled really hard, worked Bonucci and Chiellini over pretty good to kind of open up space for Griezmann, that or kind of unlock the door that Morata then opened after he came on around the hour. So for me, it's tough to say. All things considered, fitness put into consideration, it's tough to say, because I think they both played pretty well on Wednesday. It might just be a matter of touch and go, especially with Costa's foot and how well he's doing. He's still not ready for 90 minutes, it's clear. While Morata just keeps getting done in by VAR. It's a situational thing, I think, until someone really stands out.
You know, I really like Morata in all of his appearances, even though he hasn't scored and has been kind of hosed on a few occasions. I really quite like how he works in this team. I think it was a good signing, even though it was quite expensive. I think, man, he's going to come through. And I think he just works in this team. I think he fits in with kind of the whole atmosphere of the team. And it's clear that he cares. I mean, when he celebrates against two of his former clubs and then both goals get ruled out, that tells you a good bit.
Oh, he's going to be worth his weight in gold if he can help this team keep going in the Champions League. Where do you stand on Atleti's candidacy for the European Cup, considering this performance? I know it's early, I know it's one game, but where do you stand on it?
I'm trying to remember what I said at the beginning of the season.
You want me to bring up the
prediction? Just back up what I said before. Because I want to be really optimistic. Because my sort of feeling going into this was, if Atleti can get through this tie, I think they're sort of beginning to build up a good bit of momentum. Because if you knock out Juventus, man, it's hard to get a team tougher than that in the Champions League. And in your own home stadium, I'm thinking it's a good chance at this point, I have to say it. I think there's a definite chance they get to the final.
I think the motivation is absolutely there.
Especially with La Liga basically gone.
Yeah, with La Liga gone, I mean, hey, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Atleti could finish fourth, depending on how far they go in the Champions League. It would not shock me if they're not going to tank, because Simeone's teams don't tank.
Or and you can't tank in soccer.
It's not going to be a thing like that Real Madrid team that had their A team and their B team a couple of years ago. It's not going to be like that. Atleti don't have the depth for that. But it wouldn't shock me if we continue to see performances like the one against Rayo over the weekend, which was a pretty... It wasn't such a good performance, especially compared to this one.
Turgid would be a word.
It would just not surprise me if we saw some more performances like that, because there is a real chance this year. The Champions League it's pretty open this year. There isn't really someone... Manchester City struggled against Schalke. PSG, hey, they played great against Man United, but they don't have a very good reputation. You know, Bayern.
Yeah, Manchester United that have been in basically, like, dismay this whole season.
I mean, Bayern and Liverpool are battling. Barcelona can't do anything away from Camp Nou.
I mean, you know, thinking about it, I mean, really, the favorite for it is Liverpool, because they were in the final last season and they didn't lose their best player, Mohamed Salah, like Real Madrid did,
sure,
and Ronaldo. But the reality is that team is still quite flawed. And I think that sort of leaves this big opening. I mean, it's not like Liverpool have Messi on their team or Ronaldo on their team. It's just not the same as it would be.
So, short answer is, I don't know.
But I think they can make a deep run.
I think they can. I mean, we also can never discount Real Madrid. After all, they are the three-time defending champions. And they did their thing against Ajax where they got some VAR luck and then they won it late on the road. So they did what they usually do anyway.
I mean, we saw this coming. That's yeah. What always happens.
Poor Ajax. I was rooting for them.
I mean, I thought the Atletico match was actually one of... Atletico and Man City were, I thought, the two best first legs. I sort of enjoyed the PSG-Man United one, but man, there were some junky ties in this round of 16.
Yeah.
And I think that backs up what you were saying. There's no dominant team here.
There are a bunch of really good to great teams, but actually I'm going to take that back. There are a bunch of good teams. There's not really one great team, and that works in Atleti's favor.
Absolutely.
Just like how if La Liga is an 80 to 85 point league, that works in Atleti's favor. It's not going to be anymore because Barca are probably going to end up with 90 points, 90 plus again. But if this is a Champions League where there aren't any truly great standout teams, then... And it's wide open like that. I mean, depending on who you get in what round, I mean, this is pretty open here, and that works. That works to Simeone's favor. He's gonna like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a fairly balanced field, really. I mean, I think the only a lot of times in the round of 16 in the Champions League, you get a lot of like. Bate Borisov and Shakhtar kind of matchups, but I mean, really, the only one that had kind of two mid teams was Roma and Porto. And other than that, it's like, well, you got good teams in each matchup.
Yeah, they're really about even.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, Ajax, fine, they're never going to be European champions again, probably. But other than them and Porto, really, I mean, you're looking at. Really, really solid teams.
So we shall see. But before we even get that far, let's talk a little bit about the second leg, and then we'll talk Villarreal at the weekend. No Diego Costa, no Tomas Partey for the second leg in Turin. I am expecting a pretty different showing from Juventus at home, behind by two goals. Remember, a victory in 90 minutes by two goals sends this tie to extra time. A three-goal win for Juve by any score sends Juve through. This is not done yet. Considering Atleti's defensive record, though, might it be?
Atleti really desperately could use an away goal in this match. If that happens, then I think it's basically over.
They score one goal, it's over.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, considering the talent Atleti have, that is certainly possible. Especially in the first half. First half away goal would be unbelievably relaxing.
Which
almost certainly means it won't happen.
It won't happen in the first half. No, it's going to be like the second leg at Bayern a few years ago, where Atleti just got overrun for almost the entire 90 minutes. Their one chance of the game was a goal. And it might be something like that. Because this Juve team, I don't think we're going to see as limp a performance from them as we saw in the first leg. I think they will step their game up and they will make this a true test because they have Cristiano Ronaldo. And as he is now really fond of saying, he's won 5 European Cups and Atleti have won 0.
He's really morphed into...
He had a plan.
Like, late era Kobe here.
Man, he came to Madrid and he had that all mapped out. He was going to say that no matter what happened.
Oh, yeah. Of course it was.
So petty.
I mean, in so many ways that we don't need to go into too much depth, he has become Kobe Bryant.
I love the comparison.
We'll leave it there. But
we don't have to go into details. No, but he... Yeah. Yeah, let's not go into details.
But he's going to be pissed off, I think, for the second leg. I think it's fair to say.
Even with a 2-goal lead, it's going to be a stressful 90 minutes.
It will definitely be stressful, yeah. I would love an away goal. I would love it to be similar to the away goal that Atleti scored at Bayern. That's certainly the thing that pops into my head. That Fernando Torres assist for Griezmann. So Let's hope Griezmann gets this goal in the second leg.
But that is 3 weeks away. Let's look at this weekend when Atleti host Villarreal, a team that they have a notoriously tough time beating.
Yeah, and who today progressed in the Europa League after beating Sporting.
Why are they doing this? Do they realize they're fighting relegation?
It's bizarre.
Why are they doing this?
I mean, it's like what I said earlier. European form can be totally different from your league form. It's unbelievable.
Villarreal, though, this is a team that we've talked about a couple times this season, whether Atleti are playing them or not. This is a team that has quite a bit of talent on it and is pretty massively underachieving. Looking at understats league table, they should be right around 9th or 10th in point, according to their expected points total. But instead, they're in 18th with just 4 wins from 24 games this season.
I can't believe how bad they've been in La Liga this season.
They sacked their coach, they brought in a new one, and then they brought him back.
Classic Monaco-like behavior.
They brought him back. They brought Javi Calleja back.
I mean, I think they're a really good team. I think their Europa League form is perhaps more indicative of their talent level than what they've done so far in the Liga. But, I mean, I don't want to say Atleti have kind of like, you know, packed it in on winning the league title, but, you know, it's like, at this point, it's probably going to be Barcelona.
Yeah. It's likely going to be, unless Barca just decide to keep dropping points.
Yes.
It's a 7-point advantage right now over Atletico in second. It's tough, especially if Atleti keep going the way they're going in the Champions League. I just think the levels are going to drop off on Sunday, considering the effort that they put in on Wednesday. And again, Villarreal are a team that just... they are a thorn in Atleti's side. They have been for years, back to when Marcelino was there, and I don't think that changes Sunday.
Do you think Griezmann is going to play in this match?
Yes.
I mean, and I guess he has to, considering Champions League's in 3 weeks. There's not really a reason.
I'm not sure what the team is that Cholo's going to put out there. I bet you Arias comes back in. I don't know if Lucas is going to be healthy because of his knee sprain. So we might see a 33-year-old Felipe play 90 minutes for the third straight game. That'll be fun.
I mean, and I think it's a distinct possibility we see Stefan Savic for...
Hey, 21 Savic!
For this match. Yeah, he's back.
Let's go.
Where he's been.
Hey, let's go. I wouldn't be against that. I wouldn't be against seeing a Jimenez-Savic pairing. I think that's fine. Just Godin and Savic is blech.
But that's also probably what it's going to end up being.
I would imagine that Morata gets the start.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think so, considering Costa still isn't quite fit. Koke is going to start because that's just... Koke is even semi-healthy. He's going to start.
Yep. And I think you start Tomas in all of the league games.
Isn't he suspended?
Games now, considering... Yeah, considering he's suspended.
Yeah, he's suspended, so he won't play. So Rodri, Koke, Saul, maybe we see Lemar in there, because I thought he put a pretty... It was weird. I didn't like Lemar's like first 10 minutes. I thought they were pretty poor, but he made up for it the final 15, 20 minutes or so. I thought he was great. Worked so well for the team against Juve. Delivered that corner for the first goal. He might get rewarded for that. I would expect Griezmann to start, but he might be substituted at some point, if you can believe it.
Yeah, I mean, we could see I'm sure Diego Simeone would love a pairing of Morata and Kalinic and just be header city.
Some of the threats for Villarreal include, Rob, one of your favorite players, Santi Cazorla.
The legend.
The legendary Santi Cazorla. He is... he's having a great season. 3 goals, 5 assists, leads the team by a mile in assists. Alfonso Pedraza's had a very nice season. He was at Alaves last year on loan. He's had a really, really solid season. Victor Ruiz is kind of like Mr. Reliable in that Villarreal defense, there's just garbage around him, but he has always turned in a pretty solid shift in central defense for that club. But they've also had some disappointments. Gerard Moreno's only scored 4 goals this year after his years of excellence at Espanyol. Carlos Bacca has 4 goals in 21 appearances. Manu Trigueros hasn't been that good. He got hurt today, I think. I doubt he's going to play. I haven't seen the report, but I doubt he's going to play on Sunday. It's very weird. They also have a Samuel Chukwueze, who's pretty exciting, but he's only 19.
I love Pablo Fornals. I really liked him when he was at Malaga. He's been quite good for them this season. I think Gerard Moreno, actually, I mean, in terms of his expected goals, has been massively underperforming, kind of like the Valencia strikers in that way. Granted, our old friend Kevin Gamero scored today, but it's interesting. They're certainly a team that's been underperforming, but I think it's certainly dangerous for Atleti.
Oh, absolutely they are. It really doesn't matter what kind of form they're in. They're always going to annoy Atleti.
I don't know really what to think about what's going to happen with this year-round match, because they're a really solid team, but, I mean, you just don't know what team you're going to get.
Prediction?
I hate to say it, but I kind of think it's going to be 2-1 to Villarreal.
I'm going 1-0 Villarreal. Wow, we both know what's coming. We both know.
That kind of shifted. We know the downfall.
This was such a positive pod, and now it's not. Wow, that turned. I just think with all the intensity Atleti displayed on Wednesday, I can't see them really replicating that. And Villarreal always play well against the top teams. They've already drawn Real Madrid this season. They always play well against the teams way, way ahead of them in the table. They usually have that tendency to play down to their competition, and they've been doing that a lot this year, but they're unbeaten in their last 5. They haven't lost in a month since they went to Mestalla and got just absolutely crushed by Valencia. They're through in the Europa League. They're going to be feeling pretty good about themselves. I can see them winning this fixture for sure.
Yeah, and I kind of wrote off the league title, you know, quite recently. So it doesn't feel hugely important, this fixture, as it would have felt a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think you're going to see multiple changes, maybe a couple early substitutions, something like that. Simeone will have a very different plan for this game.
I think so. It'll be an interesting match to watch. I don't have a few chokes, clearly, as neither of us do, but we'll see what happens.
We could see a start for Nikola Kalinic, too. Can you? No, what he's going to do is Morata Kalinic.
That did come to mind.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to totally go for it.
You know, I'd kind of be interested to see how that works.
I wouldn't.
I mean, I know it probably wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't at all.
But it'd be interesting.
Oh, man.
Crashing into the box.
Crashing. Oh, man. Well, on that note, Rob, let's wrap this thing up. We've been going for a good 45 minutes here. Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me on Colt Gennaro Chat.
Happy to.
You can find Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can find and follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program on your podcasting platform of choice. That includes Apple Podcasts. And make sure to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. Next week, Rob, we're doing another International Affairs Desk.
Oh, yes. And there is some news.
Yeah, indeed there is, and we will get to that in full detail next week. Patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat, the only place where you can find the International Affairs Desk. We'll talk to you after the Villarreal game. Until then, adios.